You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast.
All of that brings the time to 4 minutes past the hour of four, and it's time for us to say good afternoon to Steve Reed on the Entrepreneur Zone. Hello, Steve.
Hello there, Richard. Hello, listeners.
Sit a little closer to that microphone, Steve. There we go. Much better. Now we can hear you. All right. I don't even know how to introduce this one.
Well, let me do that. So, listeners, we've been looking at this question. Can organizations, can institutions be entrepreneurial? You know, it's one thing for a person to be entrepreneurial, but can an institution or an organization be entrepreneurial? And we're going to be looking over the next couple of weeks at 3 to 4 organizations. And the first of those organizations is our very own Zone Radio. And I wrote an article about this, and you can find it on BizMag. By the way, BizMag is a free digital magazine that business owners can look at on a wide variety of topics: strategy, money, marketing, trips of SA, entrepreneurs of SA, inspiration, franchising, tech, etc. And one of the articles that they'll be flighting shortly is the story of Zone Radio and its station manager, our very own unicorn, Richard Griggs. And that's why it's a little bit difficult for Richard to introduce himself. So today, listeners, we're going to be interviewing Richard, and we're going to be finding out, digging in a little bit more to find out about Zone Radio. So, Richard, how did Zone Radio begin? Tell us about the genesis of this wonderful station.
It feels like you should be sitting on this side of the desk and me on the other side of it. Yeah, the story of Zone Radio is I think it's an interesting one. And it all started with a man called Steve Wood. And Big Steve Wood was an amazing radio presenter in this country. And if you look in the corridor here at Zone Radio, you will see his photograph hanging up, because Zone Radio is truly much his legacy as anybody else's. But it was created to put listeners first. Steve and I used to work together at KFM. We did a show together at KFM. And, you know, while the music's playing, you chat. And we kept chatting about the fact that we felt that radio was being dished up to listeners rather than listeners having any kind of say in what happens on the radio station. So we weren't sure that the radio stations were delivering to listeners what they really wanted, what they truly wanted. And the only way that you were going to find that out is by making sure that the listeners had some kind of input into what they experienced each and every day. So that was essentially what it was. And the idea of listener-driven radio was born at that point. It was subsequently, I suppose that imitation is the best form of flattery or something like that. And subsequently, it's become kind of the norm for many radio stations now.
Sure. But listeners helping shape the playlist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. The playlist, and not only the playlist, the content as well.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's essentially how it all started. And yeah.
And in that, you also have, you've opened the way for over 150 presenters.
Mm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
All right. Again, you know, I developed a passion for radio, and I don't want this to be about me, but I developed a passion for radio when I was 6 years old. And it was simply because a radio presenter called Eric Egan took time out to show a little boy what a radio studio looked like, and that was an outside broadcast at the Oakley Bazaars in Plain Street back in the days when the Springbok Radio used to do the Springbok Radio Christmas Fund. And that was when the bug bit. But life happens,
yeah.
You know. And it took me a long time before I was able – always had the passion, always harbored that passion, but never had the opportunity to get into radio until I met, through very different circumstances, met Big Steve Wood.
Sure.
And he gave me the opportunity to get in. But I had to wait many, many years for that. And there was a young man called Brett Cannemeyer who was with me when I started this radio, another fellow who's been very, very inspirational to me. And maybe I should have included that in the answers that I gave you the other day. But he was chased away from one radio station 25 times. Okay. Today he is the technical manager for the very radio station that chased him away 25 times.
Wow. But so he's been persistent.
And but both of us had this in common. We had to encounter something that was somewhat of a lucky break.
Yeah.
In order to find our way into radio. And there are many, many people out there who listen to what we do daily behind these microphones and think, you know, I'd like to do that. But they never get the opportunity because everybody's looking for experience. Everybody's looking for, you know, some kind of previous
exposure to radio.
Yeah, you know. And really, I think that everybody should be entitled to – my motto is simply, you know, you should have a shot at it. Either you succeed or you fail, but you never die wondering.
Fantastic.
And everybody gets the opportunity. So having to overcome hurdles and having to see the hurdles that Brett had to overcome, when we put Zone Radio together, we made it one of our policies that we would give everybody who walked through that door the opportunity to try their hand at radio. Either they'd succeed or they'd fail, but they would never die wondering.
And in 2011, that's when you started.
Yes.
So since then to now, you've had over 150, 150 presenters
at
get training.
That's
amazing.
Some of them have gone on to careers in broadcasting. Others have just used the radio experience to build their own confidence and go on to other careers where they've needed to be able to express themselves. So, yeah, it's plenty.
I love what you said about the beginnings of Zone Radio, that South African and independent artists deserve fair access to airplay.
Mm.
Small businesses should have affordable access to radio advertising. And then finally, you mention about Zone Radio is proudly part of Steve's lasting radio legacy.
Mm.
And you spoke of him as one of your mentors. What are examples? Give an example of one input, something that he said to you that was significant. Can you think of something?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
It sticks with me every time I sit behind this microphone. Never take your audience for granted.
Okay. And he must have said that and lived it so that it absolutely became part of who you are now, Richard.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, Zone Radio. I don't know the number of radio stations that there are in South Africa. Maybe you do.
Thousands.
Okay. But what makes Zone Radio different? You know, when it comes to entrepreneurship, we always talk about a USP or star quality, what sets you apart. So what makes Zone Radio different?
I don't think there's any one thing, Steve. I think if you speak to our listeners, and certainly when they speak to us, there is one overriding common element, and it is the music that we play. You're not hearing this music on other radio stations. That is what sets us apart. It's the music that we play, but also the fact that this radio station is run by community presenters. These are people from the community who you're going to bump into in Pick and Pay, and they're not pretentious. They're not – I mean, take Jeannie Sue, for instance. I mean, she's your average granny. She's out there at the moment coaching a netball team for the school. She's just a human being. Rob Hoffman is right next door here working on televisions, but Thursday night he's a radio presenter. So these are real people. So it's – people from the community delivering radio to the community. I think that is the thing that certainly sets us apart.
You also said a third thing, that through interviews with local charities and community groups, you give everyday voices
absolutely
a platform to be heard. And yeah, I think that is such a privilege. So you started in 2011.
Mm.
Tell us a little bit about your growth, Zone Radio's growth. You started in a small office in Edgemead.
Yeah. So we had this idea. It started with me actually working with another team of people to start an online radio station. And that fell through. And, you know, Judy looked at me and she said, you know, you've been dreaming about this for a long time. Go for it. Just go for it.
Hmm.
And we'll find a way, which I did. But we had nowhere to go. we had no place to, you know, a studio or anything like that. And a friend of mine at a place called Meditech Systems in Edgemead said, listen, I've got a little office here, literally a little office. And he said, if you can make use of that space, I'm not using it. You can put your radio station in here. Now, it was online, so you could put it just about anywhere. It's not like we needed a big transmitter or anything. All we needed was a modem. So that's where we started. And we started out quite – it was revolutionary. I mean, most people told us, look, we are request-driven. To this day, people can request the music that they want to hear, and we'll play it for them if we've got the song. My radio colleagues at the time said to me, you can never do that. You can never give listeners the control of a playlist. It's just going to destroy your sound and everything like that. I said, well, we'll see. And gladly, we were right and they were wrong. Sure. But because of that interactiveness, because of that involvement, people feeling that they were part of it, it grew. And the listeners shot up to about 5,000 odd a month, and then even higher than that. And then we caught the eye of the folk at the waterfront, Growth Point, and we've come full circle because Growth Point is still involved.
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, and they said to us, listen, you guys are doing something quite different here. People are enjoying it. How would you like to have a studio at the waterfront? And once we came out of the little office in Edgemead, and we had an open studio where people could look into the studio and see the presenters at work and come in and, you know, look into a radio studio. Then things really took off for us. So, and then we grew. As for the Valley, we've got a lot of online listeners, and it varies. Sometimes it goes up as high as 30,000. Sometimes it's, you know, sort of mid-20s. When we applied for our FM license, that was a game changer for us. But to this day, if you ask me how many people in this valley listen to us, I couldn't give you an accurate figure. I can only give you what we're getting in terms of feedback.
Yes.
And I think that a large percentage of the valley are taking Zone Radio on board. And an indication was that was what happened when we lost our license.
Mm.
The community really were upset about that, and they rallied around, and we didn't even realize it was that popular until that point.
That's wonderful. The lovely thing is the interest and the way that you broke the mold. Mm. You know, you were told, no, that's not going to work.
Mm-mm.
But you still tested that. You know, that's part of an entrepreneurial mindset to... Why not?
I think, you know, if you and I have sat here for many, many years now talking about entrepreneurship and what it is. And the one thing that comes through over and above all the other things is that you need to solve a problem.
Yeah.
And I felt that the problem was that people were not involved.
Okay.
Listeners were not involved. And I think that's the problem we solved.
And it's amazing that with respect to those that said to you, no, it's not going to work. Mm. I mean, these were experts, and there was lots of experience in the room. But sometimes experts and popular opinion can be wrong. So well done on pushing through. And then I asked you a question. Listeners, I said to Richard, can you share some of the musicians who've been on Zone Radio? And he downright refused to give me any. And you know why? Because he said naming just a few would do a service to the many.
Mm.
And since its inception, Richard, how many musicians have you had? And I look at the walls and their signatures are all over them. But how many would you say?
I would say well over 1,000.
Fantastic.
And not just Mickey Mouse 5-minute interviews. These are full-fledged half-hour interviews where the musician gets the opportunity to really express themselves and talk about their music.
Incredible. You say, unlike most stations offering brief slots, like a 5-minute slot, every artist receives a full 30-minute interview.
At least that, yeah.
Giving their stories and music the attention they deserve. That's amazing. So
that's different to any other radio station. Yeah.
Wonderful, long may it endure. And can you share some of the success stories of Zone Radio, like the inspiring people? And you immediately turn to Steve Wood and to Judy Robinson. Tell us a little bit about them.
Okay, look, Steve was just an incredible human being and one of the finest radio presenters it's been my privilege to be exposed to. Every other radio presenter that I know looked up to him and sadly passed away. But he was a larger than life character who believed that the listeners should come first, and he never ever took the medium of radio or his audience for granted.
Sure.
Good man. And he taught me these things. But that was inspiration from a point of view of radio itself,
yeah,
actual broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to inspiring, I should have mentioned in my answer Brett Kanemeyer, because he has a little guy who, like I say, 25 times he was turned away from the same radio station where he now works and is a senior manager. But his passion and attention to detail and his wanting knowledge, his hunger for knowledge around the technicalities of radio was an inspiration to me, because I used to watch this little guy just get stuck in. And when I was feeling like, do I know what I'm doing? Am I doing the right thing? He was just right there. He just kept banging away at it like he did at the door of that radio station. And then, of course, I have to look at what Judy has done. Judy, as it started out with me wanting to give up before even starting, and she said, "No, you've come this far, go with it." And she carried the can, and it wasn't financially viable from the beginning, so she carried the financial burden of it all. And she said, "Just go and build it. If you build it, I'm sure they'll come. Just go and build it." And that's what I did. So she has been an ongoing inspiration, and even to this day, when I feel like I'm, and I do, I get to a point where very often I just feel like I want to pack it in. I feel like I'm not making any headway. I'm not achieving what I want to achieve, and she will then just like stop, you know. I watched a guitar teacher once, and I digress here, but a student learning to play the guitar was at a point where he'd started from scratch. He was at a point where I'm not very good at this. And the guitar teacher said to him, "Play G." And the guy played G.
Hmm.
And he said, "Play D." And the guy played D. And he said, "No, when you started, you couldn't do that. Progress has been made."
Sure.
And when you look at it in that light, this is what Judy has kept doing. But apart from them, every presenter, Janet has been an inspiration. The presenters that work here have been an inspiration. The people who come in here and are interviewed sometimes for the first time on radio and get excited about that, those people are inspiring. So, it's hard to say just one or
single
two people,
but
I would certainly say Steve, Brett Kanemeyer, Judy, and the team of people that I've been fortunate enough to deal with over the years.
Fantastic. You finished off that section like this. You spoke about Zone Radio's story is best summed up by the line from Field of Dreams, "If you build it, they will come."
Mm.
And then you said, and they did. Mm. Listeners, musicians, advertisers, sponsors, presenters, management, and staff, laying the foundation for a much-loved community-driven station.
And all of those people inspire me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So your journey has been a wonderful one, 14 years, but it's not been without its challenges. And two of them is COVID and the license. Talk to us about those two. How did you navigate those? Because, again, people who maybe got a business can, again, identify with how an organization, an institution, a community radio station actually faces up to the challenges.
All right. I think let's start with the COVID one. COVID is nobody saw that coming. Okay, you could have the best laid plans for any business, and that thing certainly came out of left field. And the best that you could do was pivot or adapt.
Yeah.
And but you were dealt those cards and you had to deal with them. And we've spoken about this. It's not what's thrown at us; it's how we respond to it that is
very
important.
Much.
And we looked at this. We just started this radio station, invested a lot of money in equipment, different equipment required for an FM station than an online station.
Mm.
And we were just starting to make headway and find some advertising clients to kind of cover the overheads. And all of a sudden, bang, here comes COVID. Everybody's locked away in their houses. Businesses are shutting down left, right, and center because they've got no customers coming in. And a lot of them, some of them advertising on Zone Radio. Our revenue went to hell in a handbasket, and there we were. But then we looked at what really happened. And when we did the projections on Zone Radio, as you one would do with any business, you look at, you know, what your listenership projections are going to be, what that trajectory is going to be. And we reached, I think, what we hoped for. Over a two-year period, we reached in almost 4 months. Because now people were locked in their homes, they needed something, and we were able to pivot. Sure. We were small enough to pivot and make them feel happy in their homes, give them something to be excited about,
yeah.
And the listener, and then word of mouth went crazy. And then the next thing, the WhatsApp list, we can see from our WhatsApp how many people it just went through the
ballistic.
Roof. So that was a good thing. The other thing that we did there too is that already those people were advertising. We've already produced their ads. We already put them into the playout system. There was nothing to be gained by not playing them.
So you continued.
So we continued despite the fact that some people...
You were intentional about that.
Yeah. We sent messages to all our... Judy sent out emails to all our clients and said, listen, you either don't have to pay or you can pay at a reduced rate. It's up to you. But we're going to run your ads anyway to make sure that people know that your business is still around despite the fact that everybody's locked down.
Sure.
And I think that... I bought some goodwill for Zone Radio because it wasn't all about us. It was about, we were really concerned about the community. And again, put the community first, and that was what we did. So, I can tell you this. We used to play, you know, the 8 o'clock song. People used to go out and bang the pots and pans.
Yeah.
So we started doing that. At 8 o'clock, people would request what songs they want to hear at 8 o'clock, and Judy would play them.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to those people, she was broadcasting that show from Mariesburg because she was locked down there.
Wow.
And you could go out in the streets and you could hear Zone Radio playing and people banging their pots and pans and singing. COVID was not great for anybody, but for us, from a listener point of view, it was absolutely incredible.
There was a silver lining, and one of the things about the growth mindset is finding the positives even in a terrible situation.
Yeah.
But then you had another situation with ICASA.
Yeah, it was like two steps backwards, forwards and three steps backwards. So ICASA, I'm not going to go into the detail. I think people have heard about the reasons why this happened, and it was really unfair what they did to us, but they did it nonetheless.
Yeah.
But we fought back, and we fought back the best we could. But again, we didn't realize – just what this station means to this community.
Sure.
And I think it's important that again, that should never be taken for granted. The community should never be taken for granted. And we carried on. We continued to broadcast online. All of a sudden, we saw that the downloads of our app, our Zone Radio app, had started to increase. We had people here sending us WhatsApp saying, I don't know, I'm not that young, I don't know how to, and we were actually coaching. People used to come to the studio and say, load the app, and Janet would actually take their phone and load the app on for them and then send them on their way.
Wonderful.
So that is what happened. But again, the community stood by us. And then out of that came another major opportunity. And we come back full circle to Growth Point. So without all of that happening, if the license had been renewed easily and nothing really, there wouldn't have been enough disruption for us to be finding other solutions.
What an insight.
And the end of it all is that I think on the 28th of May, I got an email today, on the 28th of May, we start building a studio at Long Beach Mall.
Wonderful.
That would not have happened. I'm convinced.
If you had kept
if,
your license.
If there was no upheaval about the license. So, this is where we realized we couldn't control how ICASA was going to deal with us. We couldn't control what COVID was going to do. What we could do was control how we were going to respond to it. And thankfully, the community chose to respond to it in a positive way as well.
Sure. Yeah. That mindset continues to drive your growth. Wonderful, Richard. So I asked you, tell us a bit about any or entrepreneurial choices Zone Radio has made. And then that's as an institution. How would you respond to that?
I think that, again, entrepreneurial, again, is solving a problem. And I think that we've done that for people. But we've chosen, as a radio station, to make sure that what platform we have, we put at the disposal of businesses so that they can get a leg up.
Hmm.
And there are those that and we keep our advertising rates low, so small businesses can get into to getting their mass message out there. We make sure that our programming, like this show, reflects that. And we understand that not everybody is listening all the time.
Yeah.
So you can come on or somebody else can come on. We've got the Motor Zone. We've got the DIY. We've got the Garden Zone. We've got all of these programs that people may miss. And so what we've done is we've invested in podcast platform so that we can record all of those shows and we can then repurpose them as podcasts. Beautiful. So people can listen to that information, get that information, despite the fact that they weren't in their car at the time or at home.
It's a very lovely form of marketing and advertising. So some of the people that I've interviewed, those who have some form of exposure socially, etc., they take that podcast and share it on there. So it's giving them exposure, but it's also giving Zone Radio exposure as well. It's a very, very wonderful thing. And talking about networking, you are active members of False Bay Business Network.
Mm.
And the reason is because of that close tie with the business community.
Yes.
Richard, lastly, what plans for Zone Radio over the next 3 to 5 years?
Okay. Well, our immediate plan is to build a studio. All our focus is on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to have that studio up and running in the next, you know, from mid June, maybe later half of June. So that is where our focus is. And I think that brings growth opportunities for us.
Exposure.
Because, look, the bottom line is we need to make sure that this is sustainable.
Yeah.
Okay. And that would be any plan of ours would be focused on how sustainable can we be now and going forward. And we have to attract advertisers. And in order to do that, people need to know who we are and what we stand for. Now, as much as we'd like to think that a lot of this valley do listen to us, there are a lot of people who don't. There are a lot of people who don't know about us. And we'd be arrogant to think that, you know, we own the valley.
Yeah, of course.
But I think being exposed in the mall where there's a lot of foot traffic in a location where people can now look into the radio station, they're going to see the presenters in action, they can see everything, the fascination of radio, then I think that those opportunities are going to come towards us. And people are going to say, hang on, they're there. Why don't we run a small ad campaign? Or why don't we sponsor a show or this or that? And that way increase the revenue so that we can be sustainable. You need to understand that everybody here volunteers.
Mm.
Okay, and it'd be nice at some point to be able to say to our presenters, here's at least some money to cover your petrol costs.
Yeah.
You know, so all of those things are going on. So that is where we're going. The other thing that I'm looking at, the space that we're sitting here right now, is repurposing that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge call for people who want to do podcasts, but they don't have the recording facilities to do it. We're going to be able to offer a facility at a reasonable rate where they can sit down and that can be properly sound engineered for them and help them to get onto a podcast platform and that type of stuff. And then the other thing that has been a driver for Zone Radio from day one is the training.
Yeah.
And I've always had the desire to have a separate studio where I can train people off air and put them through a more comprehensive training program, something they can take away with them to another radio station and not necessarily at Zone Radio.
Yeah.
But give them that exposure. And this room that we're in right now is going to be, in fact, that computer equipment you see standing over there is going to be used for that purpose.
Beautiful.
So that's the plan going forward. But in a nutshell, more of the same. I don't think we want to change the formula of Zone Radio too much because I think that it works.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so it gives me great joy to refer to the motto of Zone Radio. I said, Richard, tell us a little bit about a motto that embodies who Zone Radio is. And this was what Richard said. Zone Radio was built with passion, powered by our listeners, and driven by a community that matters. Real people deliver real music on a station where entertainment meets purpose. When you build it with heart, they will listen. This is a listener-led radio, the way it's meant to be. Richard, there are so many little nuggets that people can relate to in terms of the entrepreneurial mindset. Well done to you and Zone Radio, but to everyone who's been associated with Zone Radio, Steve, Brett, Judy, Janet, and the many, many presenters and the musicians and the community.
Mm.
Well done on the 14 years. And yeah. So next year, 15 years, you're going to have to make it a special one.
We will. We will indeed. But, you know, you mentioned all of those things. Just take one of those away and the thing topples.
Absolutely.
And that is what it is. I've just got a message here on Diane Sydney saying, and we came to meet the presenters and put faces to the voices. Yes. Anybody, I think that's what makes it special. Anybody can knock on that door and come and say hello.
You're accessible.
Absolutely. And I think the minute radio is inaccessible,
There's a disconnect.
There's a disconnect. So that's my view.
Fantastic. So, listeners, to the question, can an institution, an organization be entrepreneurial? The answer is an emphatic yes. Take a look at Zone Radio.
Steve, thank you very much. It's been a very different experience. But there will be a podcast, and if anybody missed this, they can listen to the podcast on our website around 7-ish, it's usually up there. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, listeners.
See you in 2 weeks' time.